Does screen time impact your child's development? How can parents protect their kids from technology dangers? What are the ways to reduce screen time? All that and more on this episode of Because They're Kids. Welcome back to Because They're Kids, the podcast that's built just for kids and their parents. I'm your host, Ann Baum, mom of two and president of Lehigh Valley Riley Children's Hospital. And I'm so excited for another episode of our podcast. Parenting in this digital era can be challenging, but with the right tools and resources, you'll know how to navigate screen time and social media to keep your kids safe and healthy. Here to help us talk about kids and technology are my guests, Dr. Maria Aramburu, pediatrician with Lehigh Valley Physician Group Adolescent Medicine, and Dr. Katie Kint, a pediatrician with LVPG Pediatric Center Valley. Dr. Aramburu and Dr. Kint, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Of course. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for having us today.
So excited to talk to you about this really challenging topic of kids in the digital world. It's a great tool and a great danger. So I'm really anxious to hear what you have to share with our parents. So let's start. Dr. Maria, what are the positive and negative impacts of kids from using technology?
Yes, Anne, thanks for having us. This, as you said, is a very important topic and something that we're talking about with our patients and parents every day. Technology comes with great benefits for kids because they have access to programs, educational things that help them develop, you know, for example, hand-eye coordination, their creativity, language development, and some communication skills more in the digital realm. But the cons are plenty. So we definitely have to keep an eye on what they're being exposed to in this technology. So for example, it can cause some lack of attention if they're spending too much time in their tablets or screens. It also leads to physical inactivity. They're sitting for a longer time, right? Some kids do experience, aggressive behaviors depending on the content that they're being exposed to. And also, if there is mental health concerns with the child or the teen, there are increased risk for these negative effects. So we have to make the approach be child-centered and individualized to what each child is experiencing. But definitely the time that they're exposed to it can affect more on the negative aspect.
So it's really important to pay attention to this and keep track of what your kids are doing. It's kind of easy to give them a device and set them aside, but really important to pay attention. Dr. Katie, at what age is it appropriate to introduce your children to digital things like television or iPads?
So fortunately, we do have some guidelines that are available from the American Academy of Pediatrics. So for younger babies and toddlers up to the age of 18 months, it's really not recommended to have any screen time. There is an exception made for things like FaceTiming or video chatting, where they can talk with family and friends who maybe they don't get to see all the time. And that's really not thought to be harmful. For our kids ages 18 to 24 months, it's really up to the parent's discretion of when they feel it's appropriate to introduce a screen. But for those kids, it is recommended that it be more focused on educational, high-quality programs, and that the parents are co-viewing with the child. While there's not a certain set amount of time, you know, I think up until an hour is probably an appropriate amount. For ages 2 to 5, up to an hour is what's recommended. And again, we want to focus on those, you know, high-quality educational programs, and it should still be supervised by a parent. For older kids, like ages 6 and up, we actually don't have a really great guideline in terms of the time that you spend in front of a screen. Research just hasn't really given us those answers yet. And I think it becomes more about balance. So doing things in moderation, making sure that you're not seeing any of those negative impacts of screen time.
Well, we always hear everything in moderation, right?
Yes.
When you're having the kids have the screen time, how do you determine what is high quality programming?
That's a good question. And I think one of the easiest things that we can do is preview these programs before we show them to our children. I've made that mistake as a parent with my younger ones, where I just assumed that it was appropriate and age appropriate for them to watch. Fortunately, I was co-viewing with them in that moment. And so I could quickly, you know, explain what was going on or maybe choose to watch something else. And so co-viewing is, again, something that we would recommend, especially for the younger kids. a lot of apps and different programs do have parental controls and locks. I think also with our older kids, making sure that we're asking them questions like, what are you doing online? Who are you talking to? That can give us some insight as to what they're doing, and having that, you know, open communication is always a good thing.
That's great. I have made that mistake before when watching a movie that I loved as a young person, want to show it to my kids and then think, oh, not quite
there yet.
Inappropriate.
Yeah.
So yeah. Always something to learn. Yeah. So you just gave us the recommendations, Dr. Katie. Dr. Maria, are kids actually having the recommended amount of screen time, or is it more?
Yeah, that's a very important question. And CDC has some data for us on that, which is great because they're doing surveys out there and interviewing our kids and teens. And apparently, you know, depends on the age, but ages 8 to 10, they're getting average of 6 hours. So that's way above what we're recommending as pediatricians. In the ages of 11 to 14, they're getting about 9 hours. And those are the preteen years where their minds are very influenceable. So we're seeing the effects of that. And then in the teenage years, apparently they're getting around 7.5 hours. But all this data does not account for the screen time that they're getting with schoolwork. So some schools are sending, you know, iPads for home. They have some educational apps, but that also, you know, adds up in terms of like time in front of screens, which is affecting other things like physical inactivity. So the averages are out there. So it's more, you know, on us as parents to be keeping track of this. There's apps that can keep track of that. So average, you know, screen time today, and then you can put blocks of 2 hours and then it turns off. So those are the ways that we can kind of keep an eye on that. And then obviously having the conversations with our kids, as Katie mentioned.
So obviously we're studying this. We still don't have a lot of data. We have a lot, but not enough. What are some of the impacts on children for having screen time?
So the data is coming out every day, but we see that there can be effects in their cognitive development, in their emotional development, and in their social development. One of the things that we're seeing with teens is an effect on their social development. So they're interacting more virtually online through text, through chats. And that's decreasing the in-person interaction, right? So they're in this critical developmental stage, especially in the preteen years where you are developing the social awareness. They're not being exposed to in-person, which if a child has social anxiety or starting to develop that, just being able to default to the technology is impeding this normal development. So once they are actually in an in-person situation, it's harder for them to have those conversations, which can increase the anxiety.
Right. And it's hard when you're young anyway to engage with children. You need to, and adults, and you need to learn those skills. I'm sure COVID also didn't help with any of this, right?
No, it definitely didn't help. And some kids actually stayed with virtual learning because it was difficult for them to go back in person. So we're working with us, you know, our patients that have struggled with that to get back. And the way that you get back, it's getting exposed to it. So as Katie mentioned, finding that balance is the most important. Yes, you're chatting with your friends in the, you know, messenger chat, keeping an eye who they're talking to, because they could be getting exposed to cyberbullying. So that's the part that affects the emotional. But then also that they're getting enough time of that in-person interaction with other children and teens.
And I'm sure it's easier to be a bully if you're doing it virtually than when you're doing it to somebody's face or even anonymously, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then exposing that bullying to many people, which increases shame and their vulnerability online. So sometimes if there's, you know, a chat or there's a social media bullying incident, some apps, it disappears after a couple of hours or 24 hours, like Snapchat, for example. So then when the parent goes and sees, unless the teen took a screenshot, it's gone. So the consequences for the bully are much delayed.
Wow.
And also to go off of that too, I mean, think cyberbullying and bullying, there's a lot of parallels there that are similar. But whereas bullying used to be just more so at school, it was a little bit easier to handle, figure out, you know, who was involved in the situation and attack it that way. Like now it's happening all the time.
Right.
It's happening
24/7.
Yeah, 24/7. And like you said, I think the anonymous thing is a big issue because it gets hard to target that.
Right. So you both mentioned about how the digital world causes kids to be sedentary. What are the, it seems natural to assume what the negative impacts are, but tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there certainly are, you know, ways that we can use our screens to become more active, right? And we can seek those out and try to add that into our children's routine to make that more of a positive experience. But a lot of the passive screen time that kids use, you know, scrolling, watching shows, you're not moving.
Right. Well, your thumb might get stronger.
Yeah, your thumb, yeah. Right? And actually kids have been getting things like tendonitis and having issues with their hearing because of using headphones. So we're starting to see things in kids that we've never seen or expect to see in older individuals, which has been interesting and unfortunate at the same time. But yeah, I mean, they're not getting outside. They're not playing. They're not moving. And so that's just, you know, further adding to our obesity pandemic right now.
Right. Yeah. Oh, gosh. So how do we know if your child is spending too much time? You can have your rules, try and do your best. The school angle is a whole nother dimension where because of school, they're required to be. How do you know that it's impacting them negative? What are some of the signs that you might see?
I think it's important to assess their wellness versus the screen time consumption. So what things are involved in their wellness? So just checking in, you know, throughout like the week, how is the day being balanced out? Are they getting enough sleep? Are they getting enough time with friends? Are they participating in an activity that they enjoy, that they're passionate about, that keeps them engaged and motivated? Are they interacting with the family? Are they spending enough time at least once a day with a family meal or family interaction? And are they showing any mood symptoms that could be related like right after they're doing the screen time? So keeping an eye on the mood. And then are they moving their body enough? So I think the AAP has a tool that you can download online that gives you like the hours of the day. And then you put in like the other activities and like how much time is left for that screen time.
Oh,
so that can
okay,
be a
great.
Preventive way that you can look at, okay, if you're doing all these things, like, you know, you get your 8 or 9 hours for sleep, which is more for the little ones, obviously. You're getting at least an hour of physical activity. You're getting some time with friends in person. We're having a family meal. That should be like half an hour to an hour. So how much time is left? So then that's the amount that they should be getting on screen time, because if they're doing more, then it's taking away from the other things that should be in your day.
So almost their checklist of a healthy day and what's left over is the screen time, not the opposite.
Not the other way around, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And of course, we hear the family meal coming up all the time. Something to really think about. How do you make that time as a family to get together? It's really, really important. So how do you establish this healthy screen time? What do you do? This app sounds really great. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who don't know, AAP is the American Academy of Pediatrics. So that is a governing body for pediatricians and a great resource for both research and information. So when they're talking about this app, AAP is that. But what are other things you can do to establish this healthy screen time routine in your family? And I would ask, how do you as a parent modulate your own screen time so that you're setting the right example for your kids?
So, Anne, I think you made a perfect point with what you just said. I think we actually have to look at ourselves and see what kind of behaviors that we're modeling, see how much time we're spending on our screens, because our kids pick up on that. You know, from little kids, I mean, they're like sponges, they're absorbing things all the time. And even our teenagers, you may think that they're not paying attention to you, or you may think that they may not care, but you are the best model for their behavior. So I think it really starts with you as the parent. And then I think it really works best coming up with a plan together as a family. And as Dr. Maria was saying, the AAP does have a helpful planner that you can start with. I think it's called like the family media, family social media use or something. I forget what it's called, but it's easy to find on the website. AAP actually has a website. It's called healthychildren.org. And it's just an easy to read website. It has a lot of different resources for families, whether it's about screen time or other things with your child's health. So I just want to put a plug in for that. But I think things work best, and you and your children are going to be more willing to change when you sit down together and come up with a plan rather than you saying, okay, here are the rules and this is what we're going to do.
Right. I love that, where you do it together and then you can hold one another accountable too. Yeah. So if I'm on my phone too much, they can call me out. And likewise, it's not me doing it to them, but us doing it together. I think that it's really important about being present in the moment. And it's really hard when you're looking at your phone and saying, oh yeah, I can hear you, I can hear you. But you're not really giving them that courtesy and respect. And so I really like putting the plan together and being present in the moment, because kids are only kids for a short period of time. So you got to enjoy it.
Yeah. And adding on to that is also showing like our vulnerability and how it's also hard for us. So for example, hey, I'm going to put my phone away because it distracts me and I want to be really present for you right now. And one thing we started doing as parents in the house is setting aside 5 minutes that you tell them this, let's choose an activity for these 5 minutes that you and I do that you can choose. And we're going to put screens away because they do distract me when we're playing and I want to be fully present. So setting aside that time and specifying that it's going to be no screen time.
That's great. I really like that. And I like that being vulnerable to your kids. So you're showing them that, yes, this, it's not just me telling you what to do, but I need this support from you as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, this is a great time to segue into social media. It can be fun, it can be exciting, it can be informative, and yet can be damaging, scary, and dangerous. So I guess, Dr. Katie, we'll start with you. What's a good age for your child to begin on social media? Is there ever a good age?
That's a good question. I think, again, it's really up to parental discretion. I think before we had guidelines that, you know, maybe like 8th or 9th grade was an appropriate time to maybe have a phone. And they've actually taken that age down. So most people will agree that age 10 to 14 is an appropriate time to introduce a phone, at least, or that type of, you know, where they would have access to something like social media. I think it really depends on the child, right? So there's their age, but there's also, you know, is it developmentally appropriate? I think some things to ask yourself, if you're wondering if your child is ready for that step, is how mature is my child, right? Like, how do they handle getting upset by things? How impulsive are they? How do they do with their time that they already spend on other screens, whether it's a tablet or watching TV? Like, are they adherent to your rules? And so those are just some things to ask. I think in terms of getting a phone, you know, we also have to say, what are you using it for? Like, are you using it as a means to communicate with your child, to know where they're located? Because maybe that's something that you would use for a younger child. Is it more so because they want to be more active and social with their friends and they're wanting to, you know, start to use social media? And I think if you hit them at the right timing, you know, when they're still in that preteen phase, they may be a little bit more willing to, you know, let you into their business. And that doesn't seem as invasive. And they might be more willing to listen to what you have to say. And it might be easier to go through and be like, these are the apps that you can have. These are the sites that you're allowed to visit. And then that way you can build a foundation of trust that will hopefully, you know, be a positive thing as they get older and start to establish more independence.
Oh, that's great. I really like that, easing them into it. And again, doing it together. You have a common theme going here about doing it together.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Maria, what are some of the rules that once they're on social media that you recommend for kids so that you can start off with that good foundation of safety?
Yeah, I think as Katie mentioned, really important to make the plan together. So if they have already an interest, say their friends are doing Instagram or they're doing Snapchat, then they can request and say, oh, what are your friends doing in this? You know, what are they using it for? And then modeling and establishing like, hey, sometimes when I look at social media, it makes me feel sad when I'm comparing myself to other moms. And I want you to be aware of your emotions when you're using social media. So we're going to let you have a phone and you can have these two apps, but also, you know, let's do it together. So I would need to have access to your accounts so I can just check for safety. So keeping the parental access, like you have to have login and password to their apps so you can check the messages and make sure that there's no predators or bullying and things like that that are happening. And the child knowing that you have the access, but building that trust in terms of like, I'm not spying on what you're doing, or, you know, I just want to keep you safe. And we will talk about it together. So talking about emotions that come up before or after social media, how much time you're spending. So teaching them about mindful use. So I'm going to go in and use it for 30 minutes and I'm going to be in Snapchat. So the tendency in this technology world is like the high paced stimulating material. And they go to YouTube and then they're going to the shorts, the videos that are very short, and they're getting their attention span, and that affects their attention span. Sure. So ensuring that you're having that discussion and being, you know, putting boundaries from the start. There's something also that's available online, which is like a social media use contract that then you can use with your child to put the things in writing. And then both of you sign, like, these are the rules. And if they're broken, you know, maybe we need to back out on the use. I don't recommend taking away phones or taking away technology as punishment, because then that becomes more desirable. And kids Right. are getting phones somewhere else and hiding it. And it's like, you know, I want to use it. And I do have patients where parents are punishing them for like 3 months without a phone. So then it becomes like the punishment tool, and that's not good. So it's more like a reward for good behavior. The things that we need to get you to get through is your having your dinner, have your shower at night, you know, your hygiene, and then you can use a little bit for half an hour or whatever time works for the family, but using it more of a reward, but don't use it as a punishment.
It's a penalty.
Penalty, yeah.
So you spoke a lot about safety, and there are a lot of dangers out on the internet, social media. There are a lot of predators that have their ways of getting in with kids and getting their attention. Mm-hmm. How do you warn your kids and protect them without scaring them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we do have to give them some examples of things that can happen and explain, you know, how using the social media or being out there comes with responsibility. Because once you put something out there, you know, people can screenshot and it's forever out there. You can't take it back. So I have patients that have gotten in trouble because they posted something innocent, but they didn't, you know, think about the consequences. So, you know, check with me before posting something at the beginning and then just like reviewing the content that they're posting out there. But then, you know, what they're receiving. When you're interacting with someone, how do you know that person is who they say they are? Right. And then how do you keep yourself safe? Also not oversharing like your home address and your private information. So kind of doing that together at the beginning so they can get some context. But explaining that it's unsafe to share private information or where you are in your location all the time, which is what some of the apps are doing.
Yeah, and it's very scary how somebody could easily find you or your child, your home. So I like that as a recommendation. For older kids, where do you draw that line between monitoring, protecting, and giving them their privacy?
Yeah, absolutely. That's for our teens. So it's keeping the conversation open and you know, establishing the trust. So once you've eased them in, like Katie said, we're going to start giving you more freedom. But these are some of the rules and regulations. We expect you can adhere to them and you have our trust. But if any of these are broken, we kind of have to go back to more supervised content. So framing it like that, and then, you know, maybe not logging into their account or anything, but kind of like sharing at the end of the day, hey, how are you feeling after using social media? What are things are you looking for? What people are you chatting with? And having that family time to have those conversations.
And that open environment where they can talk about something that maybe didn't go well, right? Mm-hmm. They had that bad experience.
That's very important. And I'm glad you mentioned it. There has been cases of like predators and things like that that have threatened kids. If, you know, you need to do this or I'll hurt someone in your family, or do that and don't tell anyone that we're doing this, like taking a, you know, an inappropriate picture and sending it, things like that. And then we have to warn them about this. Like, you will never get in trouble with me. Come to your parents to share anything that feels scary or odd, because you will not get in trouble with us. We are here to help you. So it's connection is the most important, really them trusting that you have their best interest in mind.
I think that's great to let them know that no matter what, even if it's a huge mistake, come to you and you'll help them.
Yeah,
I think that's a really safe place for them. Yeah, I do think you have to keep saying things over and over and over and over again, and they're listening, but it's good to keep saying it. So Katie, you talked a little bit earlier about cell phones and when it's appropriate. And right now, a lot of people, they don't even have a landline in their house. Everybody has cell phones, so they've become a really important tool. How does a parent evaluate when to get the cell phone, what type of phone, what to make available? What are some resources available to them?
It depends on what they want the phone for, right? So if it's just about like knowing someone's location, you know, just a regular like prepaid cell phone is probably not going to help you with that because it doesn't have those capabilities. Whereas if your main concern is communicating with your child when they're not around you or trying to, you know, coordinate pickup times, you know, maybe a simple prepaid cell phone is really all that you need. There's also other things besides phones that you can use to track your child's location. So a lot of smartwatches will have that capability. There's AirTags. There's other things that you can use that will give you some, you know, sense of safety without giving them access to social media and other things that we would maybe not want them to have access to at that time. And so again, it really depends on the family's needs, I think.
That's great advice. So one of the things that, as we're evaluating screen time, all of these, we always need tools and different ways to keep kids entertained, but also keep them free from the tech. So what do you think of creating tech-free time in your home?
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful idea and something that we definitely do in our home. I don't think that we can undervalue the positives of being outside, being in nature, getting exposed to sunlight, moving our bodies around. And I think that just helps to create this feeling of balance, right? Like, I don't think we need to necessarily label screen time as being like a negative thing. And kind of what Dr. Maria was saying earlier, like sometimes when we put so much of an emphasis on that, then it becomes the thing that they really want to do. And I think creating, you know, especially for younger kids, when you have more control over their schedules, building that into their routine can sometimes help with the fights that come along when it's time for the screens to go off. I found with my toddler, I was so, you know, restrictive with her screen time when she was younger that it became like this huge treat. And then when it was time for it to be over, it became like a huge fight. And I was like, all right, we're not going to do this with the second one. But also,
we use like, live and learn.
Yes, exactly. But I would use like a timer and I'd be like, all right, well, here's the timer and this is what we're going to do. And we also have our times during the day in our schedule where it fits for us to have our relaxed time. But we also have other things that we do to relax, whether that's doing our arts and crafts time, reading. And again, I just got to get outside no matter the weather.
Mm-hmm. It's good Absolutely. For your vitamin D, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Which we could all use.
For sure.
So Dr. Maria, what can we do to help kids thrive in this technology-driven world where they get just enough for it to be useful, but also don't miss out on the wonderful other things that exist in the world?
Absolutely. This is so important. As Katie said, you know, having them be outside every day, no matter the weather, no matter if it's raining, but teaching them from the beginning before they're exposed to all these screens, you know, the value of these like outdoor activities, hobbies, things, you know, sports. And the more they get passionate about those things, one, we as parents should try to, you know, show our interest in those things, go see them to their games, even try to do some activities together that are family activities that we look forward to. So then they'll actually want to do those things rather than sitting at home doing screen time. So for example, in our home, I try to have activities that my kids love that are year-round, like for the winter, winter activities, for the summer, summer activities. And they look forward to those. So then that takes away a lot of time that they could be doing screens because those activities take time. So, you know, kind of like focusing on like when they're little, what activities can I, you know, expose them to so they find what they're passionate about. And if it's art also, like art or music or anything, but things that take away that time that they can just default to screens. And then modeling that, you know, let's go for a family walk. Let's go for a hike. Let's go do something in the snow, things like that.
That's awesome. Well, time flew for this podcast today. I'd like to give you each the opportunity to share your final thoughts on the digital world and social media. And Dr. Katie, we'll start with you. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
So I think, you know, from our conversation today, we talked a lot about balance. I feel like that word was used a lot, and I think that's definitely an important take-home point for everyone. Again, screen time doesn't have to be this bad, terrible thing. Screens are here. This is the world that we live in. And so we just have to find the way that we can make that positive and enrich our lives.
Great. Thanks, Dr. Maria.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I want to focus a little bit more on the teens because this is the population I'm taking care of. And I wanted to, you know, kind of focus on the mental health. So keeping an eye on our kids' emotional health. So making sure that they have the lingo, the language to express what they're feeling. So it's something that we can work on as part of their development is, you know, how do they know what they're feeling and how they're expressing it so that when it comes up in social media, they have that language to express. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling very angry every time I look at social media, and also model that. So as parents, modeling, I think, should be the thing. And then look at our screen time, look at how we're feeling and if we're expressing that to our kids so they can express it back to us. And then one thing that we didn't address here too much, but is really of concern of mine, is the effects of social media on body image. And we can do a whole episode on that. So that one, keeping an eye on, you know, how am I comparing myself to other peers and what is being put out there as the ideal body. So we're all flawed, we're all imperfect, and we're all unique. So we don't need to be comparing ourselves to others, but we're going to do it. And everything in social media is with filters, and they're only showing the perfect, bright days, but they also have sad days. So making them aware of that, because they'll start comparing themselves and say, everybody has a perfect life except for me, you know, or a perfect body. So that's one thing that, you know, we can talk more about later.
Well, Dr. Maria, Dr. Katie, thank you so much. What great advice for us as parents to stay engaged with our kids and really help them have healthy use of screen time and healthy family life. So thank you so much, both of you, for being here.
You're so welcome. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
For more kid-focused health tips, advice, and must-know news about Lehigh Valley Riley Children's Hospital, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at LVHN Children. And remember, every parent needs a partner through parenthood, so make sure to subscribe or follow Because They're Kids wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode.